Okay.
Oh, okay. Good day, everyone. This is as we see the day approaching, and it's April 20, what is it? April 29th, 2022 today. Wow. And we have Brother Andrew with us, and we have a guest, and I'm going to just say Aussie Watchman. That's his handle, what he goes by. And we are so very excited about having Ozzy on with us today. What I want to do now, let me pray just a general prayer and we'll get started here. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name. We thank you for this opportunity to come together like this, Lord God. We ask your perfect will to be done. We ask that you anoint every word that it is from you that we get out of the way, and may your perfect will be done. We ask that you anoint the hearing, the ears, to hear what each what you would say to each one and how it pertains to them personally, Lord God. And we ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking, let's see, this is the fourth episode. We've been talking about the bride of Christ. We talked about the seven churches. We talked about intimacy. You know, what is that difference between the wise and the unwise virgins? And then this just goes right in. This is going to be like an episode four of the same series. And I believe our friend Ozzy here, my dear friend, is going to share something that the church needs to hear. And I just he has an amazing testimony, amazing things that the Lord has shown him that he's had to deal with. But I'll let him talk about that. But I just want to start out, Ozzy, by relaying what we were talking, and I said, well, what would the Lord have you say? What do you believe? So that's what our prayers have been, guys, is what, just let's just pray that that you will be led to say whatever the Lord would have you say to his church. What would that be? And I'm gonna mute the mic, and Andrew and I will come in here and there as we feel led of the Spirit. But we just want to let you just talk as led by the Holy Spirit. Ozzy, go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, when you actually asked me that question, I really sort of thought, okay, just to wade through all the other stuff on top of it, what would be the core message, that I've had to learn through the last few years. And the essence of what it is that we need power. We really, really, really need power. And we need the power that the early church had, but we'll have more power because greater works, Jesus promised that we will do greater works than he because he's going to the Father. And they had it in the early church. But where's ours? Where is ours? We've been lulled to sleep at church, happy clapping in the bless me club, given to God so that God will make me rich with the prosperity doctrine, praying that God will help us make it. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, there has been a huge witchcraft revival going on while the church was asleep, like boiling frogs, slowly boiling in the Bless Me Club without even knowing about it. There have been people, there's a whole generation now that's been brought up on a steady diet in indoctrination of witchcraft. They'd be in their maybe 40s now, watching TV shows like Charmed, Buffy the Vampire Killer. We've got Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings. We've got how many other witchcraft, zombie movies, practical magic, everything, even on TV. And even on cable, like everything is witchcraft, everything is demonic. And there's a whole generation that's been brought up on that. There's a generation that's been looking for power to meet the day-to-day needs and the day-to-day challenges that have confronted people, say women with abusive husbands or vice versa, or people like desperate to make ends meet, or people who are very hurting, who've been in terrible family situations or growing up in family situations, who've gone to the churches and found no help, no help, unless you're willing to put money in that collection plate. I've been there. I went there, and when I needed the help, there was no help for me, no help whatsoever. In fact, I ended up being homeless because of Pentecostal witchcraft and their lack of help, because all of a sudden I was seen as a threat because I was being confronting about them providing me with the things that they should have been providing me with, that I'd actually contributed to through my tithes and offerings and all sorts of things. And all of a sudden I was the enemy when I came and needed it. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so there might be food for my people, we were taught. And when I was looking for food, there was no food for me. They didn't want to help me. I finally had to tell the woman that was part of administration at that church that if she didn't give me what I needed, because I was hungry and I was homeless, that I would actually have the money that I needed if I hadn't given it to the church. And I'd be going to church the following Sunday and telling everybody that there isn't food for your people. And I'll tell them exactly what she's done. And all of a sudden, I was invited to the church to get the stuff that I actually needed. And it was served up with a lovely plate of cold comfort. And I'm telling you, it was pretty unloving. And anyway, that was a big mega church here in Australia that's now franchised all over the world. I saw it all. I was brought up in the church. I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 5 years old after hearing a children's talk at a Baptist church in Melbourne. And I approached my mother about it, and she led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I was growing up, I had many spiritual experiences that I didn't know what was actually going on. And although my mother was the real deal and she really believed in Jesus Christ, she believed in spirits on paper. And she had a little boy that was growing up with all of this sort of stuff. And I was actually experiencing it. I had the Lord teach me about how to deal with spirits. I had them touching me in the middle of the night. I had my name being called. I'd be slapped across the face by an invisible face. It was, and it all happened at night time, and it had all stopped at daybreak. And I went to my parents to tell them, but they told me it was my imagination. But that was in the 60s and 70s, when we had a very intellectual type of Christianity that, I'm not blaming my mum or my parents. So she didn't know any better. I had to actually end up teaching her a few things. But then when I was a young man and I encountered a flatmate who we were having an argue one day, turned around, put his arms around my neck, tried to choke me. And in another voice that wasn't his, a deep guttural voice that wasn't his, yelled at me that Satan wants me to rot in hell. Immediately, I turned around and said, "Get out in the name of Jesus Christ." And he fell flat on his face, and he didn't remember a thing. The reason I ended up going to that Pentecostal church is because it was just down the road from me. I thought I was going insane. I remember thinking to myself, this only happens in the movies. And I went and spoke to a really fantastic pastor there who let me know that I wasn't going insane, and this sort of thing happens a lot more than I thought. And I started going to that church, and I was lucky to have the best of a bad bunch. The church was actually really good at the time, and I learned a lot. But slowly but surely, I watched the prosperity doctrine seep into that church. I didn't know what I was seeing at the time. And I was a very naive young man. All of my friends who were going, we were all very naive. We just wanted to do the right thing. We just wanted to please God. But as the church became corrupted, corrupted a lot of us as well. And all of those friends have left. I was actually led to the point where I was actually homeless and living up in the Blue Mountains in a tent, crying out to God and saying to God, I hope I'm making sense. I hope this storyline is actually making sense. I was crying out to God in the wilderness. I was crying out to God, look at what your Christians have done to me. Look at what your Christians have done to me. And I'm telling you, I'm toning it down because I didn't care. I would have been happy if God had killed me. And I did not stop. Look at what your Christians have done to me. Here I am, I'm homeless. I've given all this money in there. Where's this blessing? You're blessing all them. What about me being blessed? Here I am, I'm homeless. I've lost everything. I've lost all my friends. They don't want to know me. I've looked after them. I've taken them into my own home. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. And now here I am. Look at what your Christians have done to me. And he turned around and he said, they're not my Christians. And it stopped me in my tracks, man. I tell you. And I thought, hang on. What does he mean they're not his Christians? He didn't say they weren't Christians. He just said that they weren't his Christians. Well, whose Christians are they? Because they've been behaving very anti-Christian. And then I thought, they're anti-Christians. The Antichrist spirit has been worshipped and invaded the church, presenting itself as the Holy Spirit. And the church had no idea that it had been invaded because they got rid of anybody who had the gift of discernment as spirits. They pushed them out. And I've got the gift of discernment as spirits. God told me at my baptism. He said, he just spoke it into my heart, actually. He just went, the gift of discernment as spirits. And I didn't even know what it was at the time. I had to go and find out. But, yeah, and I went, wow. And this is at the time, around the time of what they called the Toronto Blessing. This is in Sydney, all this was going on. And that's when I realized that what I was seeing, the manifestations that were actually happening in that church, although I do believe God was still there at the time, because I knew that God was still there, but I actually saw some of those spirits that were actually invading the church, and they looked like big black birds. I saw them circling around the sun. I could actually see through the roof. And they looked like big black birds, and they would swoop in, and it was like they were waiting, like vultures, waiting to pounce. But I knew no one would listen to me if I said anything. And it was very interesting. It set me off on a whole other line of study, because basically, in a nutshell, God pointed out to me that Revelations verse that said, about one of the churches that they say that they're Jews, but they are not, but liars. They are a synagogue of Satan. And God pointed out to me that if there are Jews that say they are Jews, but are not, but are liars, but are a synagogue of Satan, then there's also Christians who say that they are Christians, but are not, but are liars, but are a church of Satan. And that was a real revelation to me, and quite the eye-opener. And of course, all sorts of thoughts went through my mind, and God brought it to my mind. The hardest people in the world to get saved are people who already think they are. How do you get somebody saved who thinks that they're already saved? And he basically showed me that when the Antichrist comes, that the church, the modern-day church, will be the first people to accept him and to receive him, because they actually think he's the Christ, and they've actually been worshipping his spirit for a long time anyway. They're already filled with his spirits, just like the Pharisees were a den of vipers, hypocrites, just like Jesus pointed his finger in their face and told them that their father was the devil, and they want to do what their father did, and he was a murderer from beginning, and he's a liar, and when he speaks, he's a lie. He speaks his native tongue, and that there was a special place in hell for them called outer darkness, where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in fact, it was only the religious leaders and the power holders who were the religious leaders of the day. They were the only people who Jesus actually condemned and had the strongest of language for them. And we find ourselves in a very, very similar situation now. And it's grown up around us like boiling frogs. We didn't even know. I didn't know. Thank God saved me out of all of that by having them reject me. It is a huge compliment to be rejected by a corrupt and evil organization. A huge compliment. And I didn't even know. May God have mercy on my soul. And I thank God for that. Quite frankly, I think he could have been a little bit gentler, but that's my flesh speaking. He showed me the true state of the church, because during that period of time, he took me from church to church to church to church to church, and I found no help, no help whatsoever. God actually showed me the state of the church here in Australia. And I mean, there's lots that I could actually tell you about that. But the focus of this is why we need power. We need power because while this has all been going on, there's a whole generation that have been going to Satan to find power, because Satan does have power. But he had to get that power from God, just like Satan had to go to Job to get permission to persecute Job, and God allowed it for his own purposes. Satan's gone to God and asked for more power for his people to prepare his bride. You see, Jesus Christ has got a bride. Yes, he's preparing the remnant bride. Yes, Satan's got a bride too. And God's bride is a virgin, a pure virgin. He's purifying her. But Satan's bride is a whore. And she's mentioned several times, and particularly brought to the fore in Revelations, where she's the woman who rides the beast in Revelations, the many-headed beast in Revelations, wearing scarlet and purple. And she's holding a cup full of abominations, and she's drunk on the blood of the saints. Understand this, everybody. She's drunk on the blood of the saints. She's a vampire. She's a witch. She's mentioned many, many times in Scripture, and she's also mentioned in Isaiah. She's mentioned in Jeremiah as the Queen of Heaven. Asherah, she's called many names. It's the same goddess. She's mentioned in Ephesians, where she was the goddess of the Ephesians at Ephesus and the great temple of Diana, who was also called the Queen of Heaven. Same goddess, or the same creature, same spirit, different name, different face for the culture of the time. An enemy of God, an enemy of God's people. And she's being worshipped now because the church has dropped the ball. We've been dropping the ball for a long time while we've been thinking about ourselves. While the church has been, you know, praying to God for that promotion and praying for that new Buick to drive around in your private jet, and that new house and being a success in worldly terms, we've got a whole bunch of people who've been seeking witchcraft to get power, and it does have power, because Satan's been given power by God. He can only get it from God, and he's given it to his people. And now they're making mincemeat out of Christians. And they're using it because they hate Christians. The devil hates Christians. The thief comes not but to rob, kill, and destroy. Right throughout Scripture, it points out that that the devil hates the godly. That's why David was off in the wilderness running from Saul for so long. He was the rightful king. He was being gang stalked by Saul. Most of the Psalms are him crying out for help and for justice from God. Jesus was gang stalked. They were hunting him down, trying to set him up, with catch him in things that he might say, trying to kill him. Eventually they did kill him. We've got St. Paul, you know, who wrote most of the New Testament. And there he is. We've got Paul saying, I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've been given the cat of nine tails 2x. I've been naked. I've been destitute. I've been homeless. I've been beaten. I've been chased from town to town to town. And I would basically wear it all as a badge of honor, because it's an honor to suffer for Jesus Christ. And that's his badges of honor. I don't see anywhere in the New Testament where Paul's saying, well, I've got a brand new Buick and a private jet and a great new house in Miami, and I'm wearing a brand new suit, and I've got 3 megachurches that I'm in control of, and God so blessed me, you know. And if you want to have a symbol of God's approval on your life, you too will have a Buick and a Chevrolet, whatever it is you guys drive over there, private jet. I don't see anything like that. You know, it's completely upside down. They're not the badges of honor that God gives out. That's the sort of badges of honor that the devil gives out. Because remember, when Jesus was during his fasting out in the desert for 40 days, the devil offered him all the kingdoms of the world if he would just get on his knees and worship him. And Jesus said, Jesus rebuked him. And see, that's the sort of stuff that the devil offers. That's not what God offers. It's not here. Not here. No, Jesus said his kingdom is not of this world, you know. And remember, Jesus didn't argue with the devil about it either. He didn't say, you don't own any of that stuff, you can't give it to me. He didn't say that. He just rebuked him for even saying it. He wasn't willing to take the bait. So all that stuff, we've been lulled into a huge deception about what Christianity is. And look, I'm putting my hand up because I was lulled into it too. I've come to the conclusion that we were all brought up, especially in the West, up in a church culture that is a church that has a form of godliness but denies the power, because it looks like church, it smells like church, and it tastes like church, and it looks like Christianity, and it smells like Christianity, and it tastes like Christianity. It's just not Christianity. But what have we got to compare it to? Acts. That's what we've got to compare it to, you know. This is what I'm saying. It's like we need the power of God, and that power is seen in the early church at Pentecost, when they were all told to actually stay in Jerusalem until they were empowered on high to be witnesses, and that they would be filled with power to be witnesses. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed or not, we've actually seen an enormous influx of witchcraft happening around here. In the country towns, right across. I didn't realize how much witchcraft was actually going on until I was confronted with it. But I'll just preface this by saying that I didn't realize, I thought I'd seen stuff. I thought I'd experienced stuff. And I really thought that I sort of had a bit of a handle, more than a handle on it than I did. until I was coming under full-on witchcraft attack, and I didn't even know what it was, and I was beside myself because I had no idea it was coming from every single direction, and I could not work out what it was. I realized, because I put on my armor every single day. I put on my armor every single day. And I've done that for a very, very long time. And that armor can be found in Ephesians 6. You know, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that I might stand against the evil day and the wiles of the devil, having my feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, take up shield of faith, which I can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, praying for all the saints, right? Now, I did that all the time. I'm very aware that praying for all the saints is actually part of my armor, because as soon as I start praying for somebody else, the principle of doing to others as you would have done unto you, God makes sure that somebody else starts praying for you. It's a form of covering, but you've got to start praying for somebody else before that happens. And I had all my armor on, and it's real. It's real. It's like Roman armor. It's shining. It's the armor of light. It's called the armor of light. It had the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. When I started coming under attack in the country, it was like first thing in the morning, and I'd wake up and I was terrified for no reason. I'm not someone who's used to feeling terrified. I had to grow up with all of that sort of stuff. I learned how to overcome my fears and confront them many, many years ago. It's not my natural go-to place, but I'd wake up and I was terrified. Started to get a bit of cotton onto what was going on, that there was some kind of witchcraft or spirit sent my way. And I woke up in the morning one time and I just remembered, all I had to do was remember that I had the shield of faith. And as soon as I remembered that I had the shield of faith, it stopped. I went, okay. It's one thing to have the shield of faith. It's completely another to use it. And all I have to do is to remember that, because remember, the spirit realm is much more sensitive than the physical realm. All I had to do is remember it and bring it to mind. Bang. It quenched the fiery darts of the evil one. Right? And then I thought, okay, now I'm cooking with gas, right? So I started looking in my word. And I love the word of God. I love the Bible. I know a lot of it by heart. I was brought up that way. But you can always know more. And you've got to be using the right word of God. You really need to rely on God to guide you, because the devil has armored up his people. You know, he's raising them up, and they're well practiced, and they're very well dedicated. They are dedicated to what they're doing. And if you don't have the right sort of the spirit, guided by God, it's not sharp enough to hit the target. I'll give you an example of that. When we moved out to the country, God moved us way out to the country. Beautiful place, beautiful, beautiful green rolling hills in Australia, cattle, sheep, you know, streams everywhere, lovely big property. Got it for a steal. And all of a sudden, I started finding these people like dive bombing my car when I'd be parked in the main street. Now, the main street is very tiny. There's only 250 people who live in the whole town, and we're out of town. And if I was in there, they would dive bomb the car, and I'd feel terrified, and I'd be wondering what the heck is going on, because it would stay with me for days. But I started being observant, and I noticed one of them, a woman in particular, would dive bomb the car, and I caught her in the rear vision mirror with her hand up, thrusting something in my direction. And I realized that she was throwing something in my direction, although I couldn't see what, but I'd always be terrified afterwards. I saw her drive past my house one time throw her hand up towards our house. I was standing in the chook pen. The next day, my pet rabbit died. It was right there. And I thought, what is going on here? Then I started noticing all these, I saw her. Everywhere I went, she would be there. Everywhere. And it's uncanny, I didn't even know who she was, but she would have her hair down, and everywhere, whatever shop I went into, wherever I go, she'd either be parked behind me or she'd be there right in front of me just doing stuff that would look like totally normal, but it was just happening way too much for the amount of people in town. And then one time I was in the car outside the grocers, and I looked across the road, and there's a shop there, and the shop was called one of those new agey shops, and I could see in the window, and I saw her, the proprietress, and another girl standing in the window holding hands with their heads down doing something. And I went, that's no Christian prayer group, but there's no Jesus in there. That's a witch's little spell group. That's a witch's circle, that is. They're doing something, and it's a beyond coincidence that I happen to be sitting here right across the road while they are doing it. And I went, okay, I'm dealing with witchcraft. So I started, every time she'd dive bomb me with the car, she'd come right up real close, real fast, and almost hit the side of the car, but not, and then speed off. Anyway, I was praying, the Lord has not given me a spirit of fear and confusion, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it did help. It did help. But I couldn't work out, because I was praying. I was really praying by now, because it was happening from a lot of different people. People who I hadn't even met. I didn't even know. We were new in town, and we're thinking, what is going on here? But I was beside myself and a nervous wreck. Anyway, I came across this verse that said, the Lord has not given, we have not received a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. Well, she dived on me, and I said, the Lord has, I've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby I cry, Abba, Father. And I felt whatever it was jump off me and go straight onto her, and I didn't see her for a month. And I realized that that was exactly the sort of the spirit that God had actually led me to use against that attack, and that that spirit that she tried to put on me had gone straight back to her seven times over, and she had some real questions that she wanted to ask her dark master. Anyway, it didn't stop. We've got a big Freemasons temple in town. It's the most horrible, dank, dark-looking building. It's always just sitting there, empty. And even on a sunny day, there's always dark clouds hanging over it and trees with no leaves on it. And I think I saw a bat fly out of the window one day. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about that. But it does sit there looking dank. And whenever they have meetings, it's always very, very eerie. So I thought maybe it's the Freemasons. Maybe that's what's going on. But why would they pick me? I mean, I still don't have any idea. But what started to happen was wherever I went, there were cars that had 666 in the number plates. You wouldn't believe it. If I hadn't taken photos of all the cars that had 666 on the number plates, you wouldn't believe me. You would say that I was nuts. But I've got all the evidence. And if it wasn't 666, it was 999, which is just upside down sixes. And everywhere I went in town, and it's like, I'm telling you, there's not that many people in the world who've got 666 number plates. So they must have been coming from all around. It was obviously to intimidate. And they do it all very covertly. And I had some strange things happening here. I had cars just sitting at the property. We've got quite a big property. We can actually see the roads. I saw one time there were these women who came and they were hanging around the gates, hanging around our gate. And I actually watched them get out of the car and take a stone, even though there's lots of stones everywhere, big stones, it's a very rocky area. Take a stone, put it under her arm, and put it in the car and drive off. And they knew I was watching because when they were driving off, they waved to me. I'm thinking, what the heck? And then the next night, I woke up 3 o'clock in the morning and thought, nothing of it. But the next day when I came home, I noticed that the stones that were like a boundary to our driveway were missing. And I thought, am I tripping? So I took photos. I took photos of the driveway stones and I put more stones there because I thought this is very odd. And the next night, I also woke up again at 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't really think anything of it. But when I came home again the next day, there were more stones missing, and I had the camera shots to prove it. They'd come back and they'd stolen more stones, right? And I'm thinking, that's very strange. Then I'd see a car sitting at the top corner of my property on the left-hand side. Then a few days later, I'd see a motorbike rider just sitting at the top left-hand corner. Then a few days later, I saw two motorbike riders just sitting at the bottom left-hand corner of the property. And then a few days later, I saw there was a deer that had actually died at the other corner of our property and it had its head cut off. And I'm starting to think there's something very weird about all of this. They're hanging around gates. They're doing stuff. And there was always a fear that went with it. Like there was always a fear. I didn't know what to think, but I videoed it all. It's all on video. I actually went to the police and because I didn't know what was going on. Luckily for us, the police around here who knew everybody, I mean, I didn't even know who these people were. And I showed the police and I said, look, I know this sounds crazy, but this is what's going on. Here's the video footage. We have no idea who those people are. And he started pulling all of their faces up and going, is it that person? Yes. Is it this person? Yes. Is it that? They have a reputation. Right. Okay. Well, he was very good. I just had no idea that I was actually dealing with something that was very spiritual rather than physical. And these 666 cars, right? One time, I mean, it's like if you don't want to be identified as a witch, don't go advertising it. You know, it's like one time I was sitting outside the hardware and there was this woman, she was sitting in her car and she obviously saw me pull out my camera phone and I took a photo of her number plate because it too had a 666 in it, right? Well, the next thing I know, she's up against my window with her nose virtually pressed, looking quite menacing. I think she was expecting me to run away. I don't know, but I just went round down the window and I went, yep, what's up? And she made some sort of nice excuse about, you know, me being able to go in before her, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, you can do that. And I said to her, oh, by the way, that's a very interesting number plate that you've got. I've seen quite a few of those around here. And she said to me, oh, well, there's a meeting of us. There's a gathering of us, don't you know? And she was hoping that I'd just laugh it off as something that she was just joking. But I didn't do that. I went, oh, really? Where? And she quickly took off. Because to me, that was confirmation. And so I started asking around town and started putting two and two together. And there was this one of them. It was this very, 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 very ugly woman. Wherever I went, if I was taking my mate into town because he was working into town and we only had one car, she'd be coming out of town. She'd be waving a little finger over the steering wheel. She was an ugly little thing with a really snarly little face and hair like wire, you know. And, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, she even looked like a witch, like really. And she'd get around this little car. I remember her sitting there and when I was going into the the grocers. And I smiled at her and she just snarled back at me. And I thought, oh, well, maybe that's just what she looks like. I didn't really think too much of it until every time I went into town, she was coming out waving a gnarly little finger over the steering wheel. And then whenever I was coming back out of town, she'd be coming back the other way. And every single time. And luckily for me, I had my housemate with me who'd also noticed it. And she actually confronted him, her family confronted him about just trying to cause trouble. And he actually confronted her about all that and she tried to make excuses. And he said to her, no, I've seen what you're doing. And every time Ozzy is anywhere in town, you are there. I can see it from my office window. Everywhere, he can't go anywhere without you showing up. I've watched you follow him in shops. It's very strange behavior. I'm watching you and it's all on video. Anyway, I was starting to have very strange dreams. There were two men that came into my bedroom at nighttime. I was in my dream state. I remember one looked like an older man and another was a younger man. And they had these little round balls and they were feeding it to me. And they said to me, and I said, what is it? And they told me it was lollies. So in the dream, I just took it and I ate it. Then God woke me up and said, get out of bed and go and throw it all up now. So I did. And I threw up stuff. And I thought, how this, obviously these people are astral traveling. What are they trying to do to me? It was attack after attack after attack after attack. And it was real. And they were trying to kill me. Because I was suicidal. So I thought to myself, this just can't go on. This really can't go on. I don't know who to go to. There's no one who would believe me. If I told them what's actually going on, no one would believe me. If it wasn't for the fact that I've got the photos, people wouldn't believe me. And these cards would follow me as well. Anyway, thank God for my little mate, my little Indian mate, who was the proprietor of the grocers here. And we became really good friends. And he came over and one day and I was telling him about the stones and how they'd been stolen. And he said to me, well, Warwick, what would they do? What they do in India is they gather stones or dirt from a place where people are walking over and they will take a photo of you or put your name on it. They'll build an altar and they can make people very, very sick. They can even kill people. He said, I don't believe in it, but I've seen enough of it to know. I said, are you talking about voodoo? And he said, yes, I am. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And I went, because one of those witches has been running around with a mobile phone trying to take photos of me. And I thought it was really, really weird. And he said, well, that's what they do. And I went, okay. So now I know for sure that that's what I'm dealing with. For some reason, they've targeted me. I don't know why, but they have. And it's witchcraft and I'm experiencing all this sort of stuff. So I have to not just armor up, I have to really pray. Because I was praying like you wouldn't believe. I was asking God and I was getting quite frustrated with God because he wasn't answering me fast enough as far as I was concerned. And I actually even when I started to notice the cars around the property, I cried out to God and I said, God, why did you bring me here? Isn't this supposed to be a place of rest? Isn't this like my promised land? Like, look where we are. Why am I having to deal with this here? And he immediately said to me, they don't hate you. They hate me. They are very evil people, have nothing to do with them. They think this town is theirs, but it's not. It's mine. Do not engage. And of course, my natural go-to place is to engage people. I can be very confronting. I will not, I'm no shrinking violet. I will, if someone's annoying me, I've got no problems about putting them in their place and telling them what for, no problem whatsoever. But God told me not to engage. And so it took every bit of self-control that I had to not engage with them, because they tried to create situations that would normally be a place where anybody would engage. But I was obedient to God, and he started to teach me about the Psalms. I started praying out Psalm 35 a lot, which is all about pursuers and getting justice, so I was praying that out a lot, and I found that it really started to, work. Because what we were getting was what I call witchcraft soup. Wherever the witches were, or wherever they had been, there was this something in the air. There was like just a thick, oppressive presence that would try and, it's hard to explain, but it was like being underwater, you know, and you could feel it. You couldn't think clearly, and you're a little bit dizzy, you know. It was only around them, I got it on the property many, many times, and I had to pray against it. I had to bind it up in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and cast it out. Sometimes it was quite stubborn. They're stubborn. They are really, really stubborn. They don't like taking no for an answer. And they will test you out to see if you're serious. And you've got to hang in there, and you've got to stand on God's word. And if you don't stand on God's word, and if you cave, you are toast, man, because they will try and see if you're serious, because they're serious. They're very, very serious. And if they're not serious, their dark master, Satan, will punish them severely. And so they will keep going for their assignments. So I had to pray against that. And they're very sneaky, sneaky little things they are. They actually use the internet. I started to realize I'm trying to pack in a lot in this, just to show you how immersed we are in a witchcraft revival, a covert witchcraft revival, while the church was asleep at the wheel, blessing itself. It's so, so steeped in witchcraft that they're even using what I call hybrid techno witchcraft. They have weaponized, and I'm talking the movers and shakers. I'm talking the leaders. I'm talking the big kahunas. They are using the internet, cyberspace, like the astral realm. Witches fly around in the astral realm. They leave their bodies and they go into the astral realm, and they do all sorts of things, and they have witchcraft covens in the astral realm. And cyberspace, which is what we use for the internet, is a form of the astral realm, and they do operate in the astral realm. And I started to notice it when I was actually living in another country town, and they started developing the country town, and they started putting all this cable underneath the roads. I actually think they were testing out 5G without telling anybody. But all of a sudden, in a beautiful, beautiful area of Melbourne, which was up in the mountains, which is always very, very peaceful, started getting very, very tense. There would come in waves, and all of a sudden people who were normally very, very peaceful, there'd be road rage and people fighting and all that. And all of a sudden, and you could feel it. You could feel the tension, and it had calmed down. And everything, you think, oh, everything's fine. And then it'd start up again, and everyone'd start fighting again, and neighbors fighting. When no one had ever done it, everyone had always gotten on. And once again, I thought I was missing a beat, but then my next door neighbor, who was also a Christian, he noticed it as well. And he was quite sensitive, and he brought it to my attention. And it was like they were testing out something, and they were turning up frequencies and turning it down, and it was affecting everybody. It was only after they laid all these pipes under the road. And the Lord had said to me during that time one night, the Hydra. And the inference of that was that I was meant to study the Hydra, which I did. And of course, the Hydra, there's lots to talk about the Hydra, but it's the many-headed monster. There's also a constellation called the Hydra. But the Hydra is also the Greek name for Leviathan. And Leviathan's mentioned a lot in the Bible, and mentioned in Job too. And I was coming under witchcraft attack there too. It was really full on. It was really, really full on. And I didn't know exactly what I was doing. I actually rang a certain church that was supposed to be on fire for God about all of this. And the area where I was up in the mountains was known for witchcraft. I just hadn't seen it. But I was coming under attack there, and I was having people following me up there as well and trying to run me off the road and all sorts of things. And I've got all that videoed too. I rang this church, and I spoke to a lovely woman who was supposed to be one of their intercessors. And I said to her, I'm being attacked by Leviathan. And she said, who? I said, Leviathan. I'm coming under spirit. She said, what have you done? And I thought, oh, that's right. That's all I need. I'm going through all of this. I'm going to someone for help. And the first thing she does is blame the victim. I thought, what the heck? What the heck? I'm coming to you for help. And what have you done? It's like, I don't know. I don't know what I've done. What are you talking about? What have I done? And I said to her, it's a Leviathan spirit. It's a Hydra. It's a Leviathan spirit. And she had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, Leviathan, as in the book of Job. I'm having a Job experience and I need prayer. And she said she didn't know who Leviathan was. And I thought, okay, I'm dealing with yet another ignorant Christian who is supposed to be an intercessor and be able to help people like me, but she doesn't even know. So I was very polite to her, and I said, listen, thank you very much for your time, but if you don't know who Leviathan is, you can't help me. And I left the conversation at that, and I thought, once again, here's another supposedly on fire church that knows stuff and they know nothing. And the first thing they do is try and blame the person who's actually going through it. It doesn't help. And so I'm still sort of like, studying Leviathan. And I know a lot of this stuff sounds really, really crazy. But what I have to say to you with all of that is this: what hasn't been crazy for the last 2 years? If you think that everything is normal, well, you've got a real awakening coming, because the new normal is not normal. Everything's on the cards and all bets off. You need to open up your mind, because this is what's actually going on, and you need to be prepared for it, because it's happening. It's like, we have moved into a completely new era. And what we have moved into is an era that is very, very similar to the era and the culture that Paul found himself thrust into when he was set as the apostles to the Gentiles. You must understand that the Gentiles of Paul's time were steeped in witchcraft, idolatry. They had whole cities given over to gods and goddesses that were patron gods and goddesses, and they weren't any mere statue. They were real spirits operating behind those things. There was, and what we in our culture romanticize as mere superstition, as primitive folk worshipping a piece of stone. It wasn't like that. It was full on all those stories, all those old ancient Greek mythology, Roman mythology, even Babylonian mythology, even our old wives' tales of witches and goblins and satyrs and all that sort of stuff. It's all real. It all happened. It all happened. And it was very, very evil. There's nothing romantic about it. It's not Disneyland kind of romantic stuff. It's very dark. It's very evil. It's the mixing of DNA to create different creatures. And it's very, very wicked. It's just that the devil went underground. He went underground to convince several generations that he doesn't exist. And while the church didn't have anything to combat or didn't think it had anything to combat, it got lazy and it fell asleep, just like the 10 virgins. They all fell asleep. And some of them didn't have enough oil when the bridegroom came and they were locked out. And so our whole culture has been brought up in a pseudo-Christianity. And there has been a huge satanic revival going on, a witchcraft satanic revival, and it is real and it has power. And Paul confronted that with the power of God. He confronted that with the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, who defeated and disarmed Satan and had victory over him. He was rose from the dead far above all power and principality, rule or throne or dominion. And all those rulers, thrones, and dominions, they're all those little gods. That's what they are. They're the Dianas, and they're the Hercules, and they're the Apollos, and all the other mini gods. You know, that's what all those powers and dominions are. Jesus has been raised up far above all them and seated at the right hand of the Father. And all authority, power, and dominion has been given to him. And we've been raised up with him and seated together in him. Our physical bodies might be here on earth, but we've actually been raised up with him, and he's given gifts to us. He has given us the gift. He's given us the armor. He's given us the sword. If you don't know your Bible, you don't have a sword. Learn your Bible. Learn your Bible. It's okay to have the armor. It's okay to use the armor. But if you don't have a sword, you're a sitting duck. You've got no offensive weapon. You've got to learn the word of God. He's also given us authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the evil one. That's all the power of the evil one. Serpents and scorpions, and they're real things. They're real types of spirits. And you know what also comes under the heading of scorpions, the same family? Spiders, and which is a rider in the spiders. We've got power over that. Authority to trample underneath our feet. And you can do it. You can do it. I take authority over all you snakes and you scorpions and over all the power of the evil one, and nothing shall by any means harm. And I put you under my feet and I trample you underneath my feet. Get out and stay out in the name of Jesus Christ. And he has given us the keys of the kingdom. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. They're mighty, mighty, mighty weapons. Mighty weapons. We need to use them as Christians. We really, really, really